right, Matthew chapter number 17 tonight. Matthew chapter number 17. Appreciate those good songs. Amen. Matthew chapter number 17. It's good to be back with you this evening. I trust that each and every one of you had a good day today. Amen. And I appreciate the good meal that Miss Evans made tonight. And I'm not sure if Brother Evans helped or the family helped, but whoever did, I appreciate that very, very much. Amen. Matthew chapter number 17, if you find your place, let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 17. We'll pick up in verse number 1 here, Matthew chapter number 17, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. And again, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for first loving us. Lord, we thank you for saving us. And dear God, thank you for the good liberty that has been given here this week. And Lord, I understand as a guest preacher, the reason I have good liberty to preach behind another man's pulpit is because there's a faithful man of God that stands behind this pulpit every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And Lord, Lord, that gives liberty to this guest preacher. Lord, I sure do thank you for Brother Evans and Lord, him standing in this place these many years and preaching the Word of God. Now, Lord, we come to you, Lord, this Monday night, and we ask you, Lord, that you would speak to hearts, Lord, individually, Lord, according to, Lord, what they need to be spoken to. And dear God, Lord, I pray again, Lord, if there be anybody lost here tonight, that you'd save them by the good grace of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Very obvious in the verses that I read, this is speaking about that transfiguration of Christ that took place here on the mountaintop. And this transfiguration was a vision. It was a brief glimpse of the true glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16. Just look over in the very next chapter. You may already still be right there at verse number 27. The Bible says, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And this was a special revelation of the Lord's divinity to the 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John. And it was God's divine stamp of approval of everything that Jesus had done and everything that Jesus was about to do. In verse number 3, you'll find that Moses and Elijah, they show up in this transfiguration, appearing to talk with Jesus. And you'll find that in the Old Testament that Moses and Elijah were arguably 2 of the greatest prophets in the whole Old Testament. Moses represents the law, and we understand that he wrote the Pentateuch, and he predicted the coming of a great prophet. Elijah represents the prophets who foretold the coming of the Messiah. Moses and Elijah's presence with Jesus on this mount confirms his entire mission for coming to earth. First of all, to fulfill God's law, and second of all, the word of God's prophets. And just as God's voice in the cloud over Mount Sinai gave authority to his law, God's voice at the transfiguration gave authority to the Lord's words. In verse number 4, you'll find that Peter... I can relate a lot with Peter, amen. Peter wanted to build a place for these great men to stay, but Peter had it all wrong. He had the wrong idea. Peter wanted to act. But you understand, church, this was not a time to act, but this was a time for true worship and true adoration for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter wanted to capture the moment, but he was supposed to learn and to move on from this particular situation. He saw Christ as equal to others, but we understand that Christ is infinitely greater and not to be compared to anyone. And the great lesson to be learned in this portion of Scripture that I've read is Jesus is more than just a great man. He's more than just a good example. He's more than just a good influence or a great prophet. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior for every sinful man that ever walked upon this earth. And we understand that our only response will be to worship and obey the very Son of God. In verse number 2, you'll find that the Lord's face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. But Peter said something here in verse number 4 that I want to bring out tonight, and I'm sure Brother Evans, as long as he's been in the ministry, and if there's any other preachers here tonight, you either have or you want to very soon to preach on this particular statement that Peter said. All of us have probably preached on it a time or two before if we're a preacher, where Peter said, it is good for us to be here, amen. Now we all know Peter said it is good for us to be here because Moses and Elijah met Jesus there on the mountain. But you understand, Peter didn't have a clue why it was good for them to be there. Peter was just babbling off at the mouth like he always was. But in these verses that I read this evening, there are a few reasons that God gave me not long ago why I believe it was good for them to be there on the mount. But I want to bring that here tonight to the church right here at Calvary Baptist Church in Flora, Illinois. Can I say tonight, it is good for us to be here, amen. It is not good for us to be here because Evangelist Chris Dallas is in town. It's not good for us to be here because this is a social gathering. It's not good to be here because your family belongs here or your friends go to church here. But there are some reasons tonight I want to bring out from the Word of God and say that it is good for us to be here at Calvary Baptist Church in Flora, Illinois. First of all, look at verse number 1 with me tonight. Verse number 1. The Bible says that after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Can I say tonight, the reason that it was good for them to be there and the reason that it's good for us to be here is, first of all, they were in the place and the presence of God, amen. They were in the place and the presence of God. You understand, Peter, James, and John were in the place of God. They saw this great transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other disciples did not go up the mountain with Jesus. I want you to look at verse number 1. Again, the Bible says that after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain. Look at that last word, apart. You understand, the other disciples did not go up with Peter, James, and John. And can I say tonight, church, that word apart, we need to allow that to be in our vocabulary. If we are ever going to be in the place of God, you understand, we are going to have to come apart. You understand, there's times that you and I are going to have to come apart from the congregation. There's times where we're going to have to, husbands are going to have to break away from their wives, and wives break away from their husbands, and children will break away from their parents and just get apart and alone with an almighty God and find out what it is yourself to individually get in the place and the presence of an almighty God, amen. But there are some places in the short 19 years that I've been saved and been a child of God that stick out more than other places where I absolutely knew that God was in that place. This first place that I'll mention tonight, it may not mean anything to you, but it means the entire world to me. It's the choir room off the side of the pulpit there at Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi. That night, I know that I talked a little bit about it yesterday, and I'll talk about it tonight, and I'll probably talk about it tomorrow night as well. People tell me all the time, Brother Dallas, it doesn't matter if you preach one service for us or you preach a whole week revival. Somewhere in every service, you always talk about the day the Lord saved you. Can I say, I hope I never get past that, amen. I hope I never get so dignified to forget where God brought me from to where I'm at today, amen. I was just sitting there just a little while ago, Brother Evans, as your daughter and the young Hatcher lady, they were singing that song, and I just began to think about how when my mom called me 19 years ago and invited me to church, and she didn't know, and I didn't know all that would take place just because of that phone call inviting me to church. I got a little bit overwhelmed, amen. But that first place I want to talk about, the place and the presence that I knew that God was there, was that night that I walked in the Bethel Baptist Church. You understand where I was at in life, church? There wasn't one family member in my life that would even allow me in their home because they didn't know whether or not I would steal from them in order to feed the habits that I had in my life. There wasn't one friend on planet Earth that I could call my friend because I had burned all those bridges. And at invitation time, there was something going on in my heart that night. I didn't know what it was called then, but I did sure know what it's called tonight. It was called good old Holy Ghost conviction. And there was a man that came and stood beside me. His name was Brother Albright. And Brother Albright came and put his arm around me. And he whispered these words in my ear. He said, you don't know who I am, but I've been praying for you. And when he said those words, for the first time in a long, long time, I thought somebody really cared about me. I thought somebody really loved me. And he was able to take me in that room there off the side of the pulpit where the choir would come out on Sundays, and he shared the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he took me on a journey, and that journey was called the Romans Road to Salvation. And that night I bowed my head and I called on God to save my soul, and my life has never been the same since that day. Can I say tonight, I know that that was the place and the presence of an almighty God. Can I ask you tonight, do you have that place? Can you go back in your mind, whether it was on a bus route, whether it was in a Sunday school class, whether it was at the old-fashioned altar, wherever it is there a time and a place that you go back to where you know that the God of heaven reached out of heaven with those nail-scarred hands and brought you up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock and established your goings and put a new song in your mouth? My friend, you may not know the exact date, you may not remember the exact date, but you can remember the place and the time where God saved you, amen. Can I say this other place may not mean anything to you, but it means the entire world to me, that same church, the Bethel Baptist Church. There's three sections of pews that sit in that church, and I was dead center in the middle section of that pew. Three rows from the very front of the pulpit there, and I was sitting on the very end. It was July the 4th, 1999. Brother Stephen Barnes got up to preach a message there that day. He said, I'll die fighting for it. And I remember him making a statement. He said, if you're concerned about the way our country is going and you're not willing to say, he said, you're not willing to do anything about it, then you really don't have a right to say anything about it anyway. And I remember that I was already involved in things in ministries in the church. I was involved in the bus ministry, and I was involved helping out in Sunday school, and I was involved with the ground crews and doing all the things around the church, but there was just something missing. And I remember 6 months before this particular service that I would toss and turn in bed all night long, and knowing that God was calling me to do something more, but I just kept on just putting it off to the side and saying, God, there's no way in the world that I can get up and preach. And God, because all my past and all the mistakes and all the failures that I had before I was saved, God, there's no way in the world that I could preach. But I remember that day on July the 4th, 1999, where God tugged on my heart and said, if it's either now or never. And I came down to an old-fashioned altar and I surrendered to preach this book. And can I say, my friend, thank God tonight, 18 years later, I'm right smack dab in the center of God's will for my life. Thank God tonight. Brother Evans, it's not some phase of life. It's not some fad. It's not some stepping stone. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, burning down deep inside my soul, I know that God called me to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's been some places. Can I ask you tonight, child of God, have there been some of those special places in your life where you absolutely knew that it was the place and the presence of an almighty God? This third place doesn't mean anything to you, but it means the entire world to me. I remember I told the story last night, I believe it was, that when my wife and I got married, our moving truck was on the way to Jacksonville, North Carolina at the Grace Baptist Church. And I remember when we first got settled in there, all the other staff members, they had nice offices. They had their nice desk. They had their nice bookshelf with all their books and their library there on the bookshelves. And I remember going up to the preacher a couple weeks after we got settled in and said, preacher, I said, is there any way that I can have my own office? And he said, well, Brother Dallas, he said, all the offices are taken up. He said, but the only room that I really have available for you to call an office or to have a makeshift office is the women's baptistry room. Well, I guess he wanted me to get a hold of my feminine side. I don't know, but thank God I found out very quickly I don't have a feminine side, amen. But the women's baptistry room became my office. And I'll never forget, but very soon after, that became my office. And it became my I had my desk and I had my books in there, and that's where I would go and get along with God. That very soon after that, I'd read over 1,000 times before, but very soon after that, one of my favorite verses of the entire Bible became Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And I found out very quickly when the Bible says, enter into thy closet. God's not talking about a place where clothes would hang from the top to the bottom. But God's saying, I want a designated place with you each and every day. And when he says, shut thy door, that means, shut, in today's vernacular, it means shut the cell phones off, shut the computers off, shut every other form of communication off, and just you and I spend time with one another. And can I say that women's baptistry room in Jacksonville, North Carolina became a very special place. And I remember going every day of my life to that women's baptistry room, and I'd put a calendar on one side and I'd put a Bible on the other side, and I began to say, God, there's not a meeting on this calendar, and if it gets filled up, then God, you're going to have to do it. And God, I don't know any preachers, but God, I know who you are. And God, I'm not looking to be on the front page of some Christian news article. I'm not looking to see who I can rub elbows with. I'm not looking to see whose platform I can sit on. I just want to travel this country and brag on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I say, before I knew it, there was a revival meeting on the calendar, and then another revival meeting on the calendar. And these last 10 years, God has used my wife and I to travel across this country just for one reason, and that is to brag on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, do you have that special place called a prayer closet? Do you know what it is, child of God, to come apart from everybody else and have your own dedicated time in the Bible? My friend, we're busy with everything else. This time of year, we're busy shopping. We're busy talking and texting and doing everything else on the phone. But we can't even have a time set aside to open up this Bible and pray with God every single day. My friend, he had a time set aside to lay down his life on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for our sins. And the least we can do is walk with our Savior every single day. Amen. You understand tonight, child of God, there's some special places. Not only was it the place and the presence of an almighty God, but turn your Bibles, if you're still there, Matthew chapter 17. Not only is it good for us to be here because this is the place and the presence of God, thank God. Aren't you glad for a place called the church, amen? Aren't you glad tonight that we can come to a set apart, sanctified place called the church, where the world, the flesh, and the devil, they do everything they can to drain our spiritual batteries, but we come to the house of God and we can be in the place and the presence of an almighty God, and the Spirit of God will deal with our hearts accordingly, and we'll get back on track to bring honor and glory to God in our lives, amen. The place and the presence of God. Look at verse number 5 with me. Let me get a drink of water real quick. Look at Matthew chapter 17, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud which said, I want you, you've got to get this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Did you get that? God spoke on that mountain. Brother Dallas, why was it a good place for them to be there on the mount? Why is it a good place for us to be here at Calvary Baptist Church? Well, not only because it's the place and the presence of God, but second of all, because of the proclamation of God, because of the preaching of the Word of God, amen. Can we be reminded tonight, church, anytime the Word of God is being proclaimed, that's a good place to be. Let's get back to preaching. Thank God tonight that you've got a preacher that stands behind this pulpit and preaches the Word of God. I still believe tonight that there is power in the preached Word of God. I believe it still has power to save the lost. I believe it still has power to sober up the drunk. I believe it still has power to clean up the dope addict and keep young people pure and fathers become daddies and lift up the brokenhearted and encourage the discouraged and set the captive free. My friend, thank God tonight, dramas and plays are not going to send revival, but the preaching of God's word will send revival. Preaching. Compromising on the King James Bible is not going to spare your city, but preaching will, amen. Thank God for 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You say, well, Brother Dallas, I just don't like it when the preacher preaches on my sin. Can I tell you, my friend, the one that tells you the truth is the one that loves you the most, amen. Men of God, or you ought to thank God you have a man of God, amen. I'm reminded of a story. A few years ago, the Lord opened up the island of the Bahamas for my wife and I to go and preach youth meetings. And we go over there a couple times a year. And I go over there to work, and my wife goes over there to vacation, amen. And it's kind of a mutual agreement, and we enjoy it. And I remember a couple years ago, I was preaching at the Tabernacle Baptist Church. Brother Alpheus Woodside started that church 45 years ago. And then about 5 years after he started the church, he started a Christian school. And the Christian school has grown. I mean, it's a very large Christian school, 450 students in this Christian school. That's a large Christian school. And even Brother Woodside's own testimony, with tears streaming down his face, he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I'm afraid. He said, when I started the school, it was a ministry. He said, but nowadays it's just a business. And I preached there about 2 or 3 years ago. I preached two different services. I preached to half the school 1 hour, then the next hour I preached the second half. And can I just say this as being tactful as I can? I've had more liberty preaching in county jails than I did that Christian school there that day. I mean, it was like pulling teeth trying to get any kind of holy grunt or anything like that. And I mean, those kids just looked at me stone-faced. They could care less what I was saying. And really, to be honest with you, after it was all said and done, I could care less if they were getting what I was saying, amen. It was that hard. Well, Brother Woodside, after the revival's over, he said, Brother Dallas, he said, man, I'd like for you to come over, back over next year. And we worked it out to put it on the schedule. And my preacher and his wife went over there with me, and we were going to tag team the revival. And so we got there on a Monday, and it was going to go from a Monday through a Friday. And we was preaching in the revival all week long. And I told my preacher, I said, through the week, I said, now, I hope Brother Woodside doesn't ask us to preach in the Christian school come Friday. And that day that I said that, Brother Woodside pulled us to the side after service. He said, man, would y'all mind preaching in the Christian school tomorrow? And I said, yes, sir, we'll do that. And what I was going to do is I was going to preach the first half, and my preacher was going to preach the second half. And we were getting ready that morning before he was going to come pick us up to preach in chapel. And we were sitting around the kitchen table, and I was being as positive as I could, you know. I was telling him, man, you're about to preach in the hardest church service you ever preached in your life. You know, I was really getting them ready to go preach to these young people. I said, these young people are the hardest young people you'll ever preach to in your life. They could care less what you're saying. It's going to go in one ear and out the other. I said, you'd be better off going down to the jail cell preaching to the inmates than preaching to these young people. Man, I was getting him pumped up to preach in that Christian school. And all of a sudden, the preacher came to pick us up, and we got to the church, and we got there before the kids got, we got in the auditorium before the kids came in, and we were all sitting there. And I remember seeing all those little black Bahamian kids walk through the door there at the church. And all of a sudden, I looked at my preacher's wife, and tears began to stream down her face, and I knew that she was thinking the same thing I was thinking. Maybe the reason those kids act the way they do is because they're lost and undone, and they don't know the same Jesus that I know. Maybe they've never experienced tasting of the living water like I have. Maybe they've never had the blood applied to the doorpost of their heart like I do. And I got up there that morning and the Holy Spirit just convicted the fire out of me. And I got up that morning and I took that little cute outline that I had and I just tucked it in the back of my Bible. And I went from Genesis to Revelation. In about 25 minutes, I preached the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I talked about the creation of man. And I talked about the fall of man. And I talked about the hope of man. And can I say, before I knew it, I just preached the word of God and just gave the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there that first service, there was about 45 or 50 young Bahamian kids that walked the aisle and got saved by the grace of God. And can I say, my preacher was to preach the next service. He went up to the preacher. He said, I'm not going to preach, but tell Brother Dallas just to preach that same sermon all over again. I got up and I preached the gospel again, and another 50 little Bahamian kids walked the aisle and got saved by the grace of God. Can I say tonight, church, thank God tonight for the power of the preached word of God. Amen. How many of us got saved in church? Got saved in church. Amen. You got saved in the church house. Can I ask us a question? I already know the answer to it before I ask it. I got saved in church too. But that night or that day or that revival or that tent meeting that we got saved in, when we got there or when we went to church or that day, we wasn't expecting to get saved. We wasn't looking to get saved. We may have went for other reasons. We may have went for any other thing, but we was not expecting to get saved there that day. But thank God, my friend, the God of heaven saw through all the reasons and all the times that we went to church, and the Holy Spirit of God could have brought conviction upon anybody's heart there that day, but he didn't just bring conviction upon anybody's heart. He zoned in on your heart. He zoned in on my heart, and the preached word of God brought power to our souls, and we got saved by the grace of God. Amen. Can I say it's a good place for us to be? I guarantee it was a good place for Ethan to be yesterday morning. He got saved by the grace of God, amen. Because why? Because the Bible was being preached. Why is it a good place for us to be? Well, first of all, because it's the place and the presence of God, but second of all, because of the proclamation of God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says this, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up my voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Brother Evans, you ever preached a message and you thought that you laid the biggest dud you ever laid in your life? I've done it many times. Matter of fact, I do it pretty much on a weekly basis, amen. I was preaching, and I'll just tell you where it's at. I've told the story there. I was preaching at Agape Boarding School in Stockton, Missouri. We have a men's home there in Eufaula, Oklahoma, and we have troubled men that they've been hooked on the things of this world, and they'll come there through our program. And I asked my preacher one time, I said, what type of program do we put them through? Do we put them through RU? Do we put them through Hope Addiction Program? What type of program do we put them through? He said, well, Brother Dallas, he said, we've used those programs, and I'm not saying that I'm against those programs, but we've just found out the best program that could ever be given is just the program of the Word of God. Amen. And that's the best thing that we can give those men. But I was preaching at Agape Boarding School a few years ago. And man, these are some young teenage boys that it's either there or they're going to be sent off to prison. And they're in lockdown, and there's some hard boys there. And first time I ever preached there, I preached a whole week revival. And I thought, man, every night I leave that place, I'd feel so discouraged. I'd be so much in the dumps, thinking, man, they could care less what I'm saying. It's just going upon deaf ears. I'm wasting my time here. Matter of fact, I called my preacher about 3 days into a six-day meeting, and I said, you know, I'm probably going to go to the administrator tomorrow and just tell them I don't feel like I'm doing anything good here, and maybe they can get somebody else that could be a better preacher or whatever the case. And he said, no, I want you to stick it out. I want you to just be faithful in preaching the Word of God. And I endured those next 3 days, and I preached and just really didn't think anything happened. And that next year, they asked me to come back to preach for revival, and I really hesitated, but I said, yeah, I'll come and preach. And that next year, I preached revival, and about 2 days into the revival, there was a young man that came up to me, and he was wearing a staff uniform. He said, Brother Dallas, you don't know who I am. He said, but last year when you were here, he said, I just got here for 2 weeks, and I was as rebellious as day is long. He said, but you preached a message last year, and he didn't remember the title, and I didn't remember what I preached either, and he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I knelt down in my chair there that day, And I called on God to save my soul, and he saved me there that day. And he said, I graduated from the academy last year. And he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I'm on staff here now trying to help these same young men through the same academy that I went through. Amen. Can I say there's something just about, it's not about me, it's not about him. It's about the power of the preached word of God. Amen. Amen. Brother Evans, I got a poem I want to read you. I'm not a poem writer, but let me read this poem to you. Sometimes it seems like we may not be getting through, but Craig Burcham, you know Craig Burcham? He wrote this poem, and I believe it's fitting for this. It says, as the title's called Preach the Word. It says, you have a high and holy calling to preach the word. Though the world around is falling, just preach the word. Preach it without fear or favor, exactly as the Spirit gave her. Don't you shift and don't you waver. Preach the word. When the path is dark and lonely, preach the word. Though the hearts be cold and stony, preach the word. If the crowd be great or small, tell the truth to one and all. It's the mandate of your call. Just preach the word. Although you may be talked about, just preach the word. Even when the skeptics doubt, go preach the word. It's the book that's true and tried. It alone will satisfy. Even though it tends the hide, just preach the word. When the critics laugh and mock you, preach the word. Though some may even seek to stop you, preach the word. When they look at you and grin, don't let it get beneath your skin. They're probably just convicted of their sin. So just preach the word, amen. I'll tell you why it's a good place to be here at Calvary Baptist Church. Not only because it's the place and the presence of God, but my friend, let's understand tonight that the hope for America is not in the White House, but the hope for America is in God's house where the man of God gets up and preaches the word of God, amen. Third of all, look at verse number 7 with me. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Touched them. You want me to tell you why it was a good place for them to be? First of all, because it was the place and the presence of God. Second of all, because of the proclamation of God. And third of all, because of the power of God. The Bible says Jesus touched them. I don't know about you, but I surely want God's touch on my life. I understand I can't do it by my efforts and by my ambitions and by my energy. I understand tonight that the arm of the flesh will fail me, but the Spirit of God would never leave me wrong. And can we all be reminded tonight? You understand the power of God is not just limited to the pastor or an evangelist or a missionary that stops by from time to time, but the power of God can be extended to every saved child of God because the same Holy Ghost of God that lives in him and lives in me and a missionary that will stop by from time to time is the same Holy Ghost of God that lives in you, and he wants to extend his power to each and every one of us tonight. You understand tonight, child of God, he wants us to have his touch on our lives. But we grieve him and we quench him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One and ye shall know all things. That word unction means an anointing and a time of urgency. Can I say tonight, if there's ever a time of urgency for the child of God to have the Spirit and the power of God on their life, it's right now in this wicked world that we live in. My friend, we can point the finger all we want to at the reason the world's going the way she's going. We can point our finger at the homosexual crowd. We can point our finger at the liquor crowd and the dope crowd. And all those problems are problems in America. But my friend, the true problem with America is those of us that sit in a Baptist church just like this one. We forgot what it is to hate sin and Satan and love the Lord in righteousness and to have God God's touch on our lives, amen. If you're a blood-bought child of God, and you can still watch the same things today that you claim that you're a child of God as you did when you were a lost sinner, you don't have the same thing I do. If you can still listen to the same music that you've always listened to, you don't have the same Spirit of God living in you that I have living in me. And my friend, because why? Because old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. We're a new creature in Christ. You understand tonight the Bible says, where is it? 1 John chapter 5, verse number 17, I believe it is. Is that where it's at? Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. Ephesians 5, 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You understand tonight? If Brother Song Leader got up tonight and before he came to church, if he would have come staggering through the door right there and come talking to Brother Evans, and Brother Evans, he about knocked Brother Evans down with his breath because it was reeking with liquor, I guarantee you tonight the song leader wouldn't have been leading the song tonight. Somebody else would have. I guarantee you tonight if the sound man, Brother Hatcher, would have been swerving up and down the roads coming to church tonight, and another church member called the church and said, Brother Evans, we're following Brother Hatcher, and he's swerving. Something's definitely wrong with him, and he were to walk in the service tonight, and it was very evident that he was drunk with wine or drunk with liquor. I guarantee you tonight that the sound man wouldn't be in the booth tonight. I guarantee you whoever drives the bus or picks up people for church, if they were to get here Sunday and they had liquor on their breath and they were just filthy, sloppy, drunk, they wouldn't be driving that bus picking up kids and picking up people in the community to bring them to church. And as foolish and as asinine as it is for the song leader to lead singing drunk and the sound man to do the sound drunk and the bus driver to drive the bus drunk, it's as crazy and as asinine for God's children to come to the house of God and experience and expect to experience a true heaven-sent Holy Ghost-wrought revival when we don't have the Spirit of God abiding in us. He always abides in us, but he is quenched and he is grieved because of our actions and our attitudes that we have in our life. My friend, I made my mind up a long time ago. I'd rather sit right there beside my wife in a church service than to get up without the touch of God on my life when I preach. I'll tell you why it was a good place for them to be. Because it was the place and the presence of God, because of the proclamation of God, and because of the power of God. You understand, we talked about it last night. If you're a blood-bought child of God, the very moment that you got saved and the very moment I got saved, the Holy Ghost of God comes and lives inside of us. I feel like going around the fence one more time about this. It'll be a good day in the child of God's life when we realize the Holy Ghost just doesn't visit on Sundays and Wednesdays. He's there every second, every minute, every hour of every day. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Think about it with me for a minute. If Miss Evans and Brother Evans were to invite me over to their home, and Nikita and I were to be sitting in there, we were going to eat supper, and we were fellowshipping for a few minutes, and I asked Brother Evans, I said, Brother Evans, could I use your restroom? And I'd get up, and I'd go off to the restroom, and I was gone for about 5 or 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, in the back of their house, they would hear a loud banging and a loud noise in the back, and it was very evident that something was going on back there. They would run and to the back of the house, and they would open up the door. When they opened up the door, I was inside of one of their bedrooms with a sledgehammer in my hand, knocking a wall out. I haven't heard Miss Evans lift up her voice, but she'd probably say, Brother Dallas, what are you doing? And I would say, well, Miss Evans, I just don't like this wall right here. And Miss Evans will say, well, Brother Dallas, this is not your house. This is my house. I wonder how many times the Holy Ghost of God tells his children, what are you doing watching that on TV? This is not your house. This is my house. What are you doing listening to that on the radio? This is not your house. This is my house. What are you doing talking and texting about those types of things? This is no longer your house. This is my house. And child of God, what a great day when we find out what it is. This arm of the flesh will fail us. But the Spirit of God will never lead us wrong. Every single day of my life, I want you to look at Romans. Look at Romans chapter 8. I've spent a little bit of time on this because I feel like the Holy Spirit's leading me to say this. Look at Romans. Where is it? Let me find it. Romans chapter 7 is where it is, I believe. Yeah, there it is. Romans chapter 7. Look at verse number 18. Paul said this. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You understand, there's nothing good about your flesh. There's nothing good about my flesh. That it's very evident that we should not want any part of our lives. You understand, it makes no difference of what your talent is. It makes no difference of how long your name's been on the church membership roll. It makes no difference of how much money you put in the offering plate. Your flesh and my flesh will always lead us wrong. Every single day of my life, to the best of my ability, I go to God. You know, over there in the Old Testament, those Old Testament saints of God, they would offer up animals as a burnt sacrifice to God. Thank God we don't have to do that, because one sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, was sacrificed for all mankind now, amen. But they would offer up animal sacrifices, animals for a burnt sacrifice, and they would cut those animals in pieces. They would start at the top of its head, go all the way down to the bottom, and they would come across, and they would offer it up in pieces to God. Can I say, every day of my life, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, what's to say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you understand, which is the perfect will of God. But listen, you understand, they would offer up their bodies as a living sacrifice. Every single day of my life, I go to God to the best of my ability. And I say, God, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I ask you to allow me to die to myself, die to my wants, die to my desires. And God, now I'm offering my life in pieces to you. God, I ask you to take my mind and don't let me think about anything or upon anything that would be wicked or vile or sinful. Paul said, let this mind be in you. God, allow me to have a heavenly mind. Allow me to have a mind fixed upon godly things. God, talk about pieces. God, take my eyes and don't let me look upon anything or see anything that I shouldn't look upon or see. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Talk about pieces. God, take my ears and don't let me listen to anything or hear anything that I should listen to or hear. Talk about pieces. God, take my mouth and don't let me talk about anything or say anything or consume of anything that I shouldn't talk about or say or consume. God, take my arms and my hands and don't let me pick up anything or touch anything that I shouldn't pick up or touch. Talk about pieces. God, take my heart and cleanse it and make it pure and holy and allow me to be a clean vessel that can be used by you. Talking about pieces. God, take my legs and my feet and don't let me walk any place or step any place that I shouldn't walk into or step into. You say, Brother Dallas, why do you do that every single day? I'll tell you why. Because I don't want the flesh to run and reign my life, but I want the Spirit of God to lead my life. Amen. Child of God, it's a good day when we allow the Spirit of God to lead us instead of our flesh. And lastly, I finish. Why was it a good place for them to be? Well, look at verse number 8. Look at Matthew chapter 17. And look at verse number 8. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Brother Dallas, why was it a good place for them to be? Well, because of the place and presence of God. Second of all, because of the proclamation of God. Third of all, because of the power of God. But lastly, because of the preeminence of God. I believe not only did they not see Moses and Elijah anymore, but I believe Peter, James, and John didn't even see each other anymore. All they saw was Jesus. You understand, when we see God's glory, we no longer have our eyes fixed on each other, but our eyes are fixed and focused on one, and that's Jesus. I believe tonight, if the child of God would find out what it is to truly give God the preeminence that he deserves. The song leader's not going to be worried about what the sound man's doing. And the nursery worker's not going to be concerned about what the bus worker's doing. And the one that vacuums the floor is not going to worry about what the one that's cooking's doing. You know why? Because it's not about what the sound man's doing. It's not about what the song leader's doing. It's not about what the bus driver, the nursery worker's doing. It's all for one real goal, and that is to tell a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ, amen, and give him the preeminence. You understand, church, everything around here at the church, man, these ladies that have been singing, man, they've been singing great songs, been touching my heart. Song leaders have been singing some great songs. Man, it's very evident the Spirit of God's in this place. But can I say it's not about the two ladies singing the songs or the song leader or anybody else. It's all about Jesus. You know, the church ought to be a picture of Jesus. The reason we have light here tonight is because he's the light of the world. The reason you have chairs here tonight is because Jesus is where we find rest. The reason we have a door is because Jesus stands at the door of our heart desiring to come in. The reason we have an altar is because there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The reason we have songbooks is because he put a new song in our heart. The reason we have a pulpit is because Jesus is to be proclaimed. The reason we have a pastor is because he's the under-shepherd pointing us to the high shepherd, and everything around the church ought to be about Jesus, amen, and giving him the preeminence. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, as the PS would come to play.